Guys, welcome back to another episode of the Ike MMA podcast. I'm joined in studio with the with Shamrock BJJ, and but there's another nickname that they've given you, Mr. Liverpool.
Who's giving me that nickname, lad?
No, it was in one of the documentaries I was watching about you and the other guys in the Oxygen MMA house on Channel 4, I think it was. Like you. They used it just and they titled the documentary the biggest and the fastest rising mixed martial arts star in England and the UK at the moment.
I'll take it, like, I'll take it. I don't think I am, but I'll take it.
Look, it's been a while since I spoke to you. Look, how are things? And with the next big event, next big fight, I'm literally just around the corner. How are you feeling? How is everything? Your nerves and your health and feeling. How are you doing?
I don't get nervous, lad. Like, especially not this far out. I'm confident in my skills. I'm confident I'll smash any man they put in front of me. Training's been good. A week away now, lad. It's just the hard part making weight. This fucking the weight cuts are harder than the fights I normally have, lad. So once I make weight and rehydrate, I'm gonna be a fucking a big boy in there, lad, and he's gonna be shocked when I'm standing in front of him.
How is the weight cut coming? Is it when the more you do these fight camps and weight cuts, do they get easier or do they get harder? Because as you're doing
They
more
get
and more,
harder.
because you're getting older and older, isn't it? Is it? Could I say because
One,
of age?
age, and two, it's a big shock to your body, lad, that you're basically damaging your body, dehydrating your brain, you're dehydrating your body, and then you're doing big massive diets. Like, maybe you'll lose 6 kilos by dehydration and 8 to 10 kilos by diet. Bro, it's not healthy, that lad. Of course, the more you do it, the harder they're gonna get. But what do, lad? Fucking, we just do more of them for some reason.
Well,
Like,
Shem,
I wish.
you seem to be
Go on.
you seem to be shredded almost all year round. I never see you always or anything like that.
I don't have a cheat meal. I'm in the gym 6 days a week, 3 times a day. I don't celebrate no holidays, no Christmas, no birthdays. Like, this is all I do. This is all I want to do. This is all I've got. None of that other stuff entertains me. So I can get as big as 84 kilos, but I'll still have an 8-pack. And then I can somehow come down all the way to fight at 65 kilos and just have more of an 8-pack, I guess. It is what it is, lad. I'm just here to fight, aren't I?
Now, your opponent, I watched the press conference with you guys, all of you there on the long conference table there. The ghost, Stefano Catacoli. Is he Italian, is it? Or Italian descent?
Lad, he looks like every race on the planet rolled into one man. I don't know what he is.
What do you make of him? How do you see the fight going, and what's your fight plan once you get into the octagon there with him?
What do I make of him first off? I think he's 7-1, so it's his time to get an opportunity like this. But he hasn't fought the caliber of guys I fought. Personally, I believe. He might tell you otherwise. I do feel like he's not as well-rounded as me. He likes to come forward and try and impose his will, but his striking's not the greatest. He doesn't really have any finishes, especially not with the hands or any knockouts. If he does have finishes, the submissions. I feel like he's going to try and come and wrestle heavy. I feel like he thinks that's his path to victory, but my grappling's just on another level, and if he stands in front of me on the feet, I will definitely knock him out. But let's see on the night, anything can happen. I'm ready for all outcomes. I'm ready to submit him. I'm ready to knock him out. One thing for certain is I will finish him. I know that.
I've seen you fight enough times to know that you it's like it's impossible for you to not win, as in you always seem to come out with the win, you always seem to come out victorious.
That's what I'm good at, lad, innit? I don't have nothing else, lad, so I better be winning fights.
I can't mix up everything I want to say. I heard in a recent interview that one of the things that you always wanted to become when you're a lot younger, when probably you were a teenager, a preteen, was that you wanted to become an athlete. But now, I mean, I think I can say, well, there's some people might still challenge me on this, that you are now an established mixed martial arts fighter. At least here in the UK and probably on the European continent, there is no one who doesn't know who you are, at least within combat sports anyway. I mean, do you think that becoming a mixed martial arts fighter, you kind of accomplish that dream, that goal?
Don't know, lad. Like, because when I was that's when I was a kid, and I wanted to be in the Olympics. I wanted to be a 100 meter sprinter. That was like my first dream as a kid, to be an athlete. Obviously, I got older, then I wanted to be a criminal. I wanted to be a drug dealer. At some point, I wanted to be a footballer. Then I wanted to be a fighter. Fuck knows what I want to be, lad. I just want to be successful. That's all I know. Like, honestly, I don't care if people know me. I don't care if they recognize me. I just love to fight, lad, and that's why I do this. As long as I keep getting opportunities to fight on big stages at the highest level, I'm happy. And as long as I can make money to support my family and look after my loved ones and put food in my belly and clothes on my back, I'm even happier. When it's all said and done, lad, I don't want people to remember me. I don't want to be famous. I just want to live a normal life and be a normal guy and fade away into obscurity. But as it stands right now, I want to fight at the highest level against the best guys. But sadly, that's going to come with fame, isn't it? What can I do? But hopefully, when I retire, all that'll disappear.
You say you don't want to be famous, but if you're doing a sport that a lot of people, almost, let me say, it's extreme, but a lot of people, they enjoy watching it. At least the fight fans who are not toxic, especially on social media, they respect the fighters no matter the outcome of the fight. I mean, I think given your background and your backstory and all the stuff you had to go through to get to where you are now, I think people, you will be remembered. There's no way that you will not be remembered.
This is the pros and cons of the sport, lad. There's some parts of it I like and there's some parts of it I don't like. Like, I look at someone like Conor McGregor, who's probably the most famous. He's the most famous MMA fighter. He's probably the most famous athlete or one of. Like, I would hate to be walking through any country in the world and just being mobbed by thousands of people when you just want to spend time with your family or you just want to take your kids to Disneyland or some shit and everyone's trying to mob you. Like, that's my worst nightmare, lad. That I don't want any of that. I just want to be able to walk through and just be a normal guy. Like, obviously, I love being in Liverpool and getting support off all my people. But when I leave and I go to fucking, I don't know, fucking Brazil, Spain, France, Germany, I don't want to be mobbed, lad. Just leave me alone, innit? I'm just a normal guy, man.
Well, yes, that's a very good point that you make, because sometimes can become very overbearing, overwhelming, and even quite annoying. You just want to have some peace, and might just have 5 minutes of peace with family and loved ones, just having a normal life. But I guess that is, like you said, one of the pros and cons of being very successful in what you do on the public, in the public limelight.
Maybe I have to start losing then, don't
No, don't do that.
I,
No,
lad?
please don't do that.
Not a chance.
Look, what happened just to your main Instagram account? Because I was going to ask you about the social media aspects of things and mixed martial arts. How it's just there's some silly things that of course have come out over the since I last spoke to you. But what happened to your account? Because I was looking for and I was thinking, God, he's unfollowed me. I see. I blocked him by mistake. Because sometimes the servers can do weird things, can unfollow people for don't worry about it, you've not done that yourself. But what happened?
Instagram deleted my account, lad. Mark Zuckerberg don't like me no more, bro. Can I say that? All of the Czech fans keep reporting my accounts, I guess, and then eventually it just got deleted, bro. I replied to a comment and put okay. My comment was okay, fat face, because to be fair, like the fella did have a fat face, and then it got deleted, lad. So I'm out here with no Insta right now. I'm on me. I'm on my food page, but I'll probably make another one after the fight. I've paid someone to get me account back, so that's why I haven't made a new one. I'm trying to see do I get my old one back. If I don't, then after the fight, I'll probably just make a new one, lad.
It's quite annoying that they made this thing. They always claim free speech and all that, but then you have the people who are running it are actually just snowflakes, people who are weak. And to be honest, it's no surprise, especially here in the UK, the society always caters to those people who really are weak and just have very thin skin, they're not thick skinned. And yeah, I mean, I can't really say much more. So I'm just going to be saying stuff that you know already and anyone else listening or watching this knows already also. It is ridiculous. I mean, either let people really enjoy it, do it properly, or just don't do it at all. Scrap the whole thing, you know.
You need to make Instagram like Twitter where you can just say and do anything.
No, of course. But it is what it is. Please hang in there. I would like to see your old account back. How is Fight Camp going? And I was going to ask you about this CMOS thing. What is that? Well, I've seen it on your Insta quite a few times now, but what is it actually made from? MOS thing from the
So
sea.
basically, lad, if you were to go to Holland and Barrett or any of these supplement shops now on the market and buy every vitamin and mineral that your body needs, you're probably going to walk out there spending grand. With this our product here, take a good look, the Royal Mineral
Mineral Super
CMOS.
CMOS, yes.
This contains 102 of the essential vitamins and mineral, 102 that the body needs. So you need 102. This has all 102. It's CMOS, burdock root, bladderwrack, elderberry, spring water, and lime juice. You can't go wrong, bro. And I swear by this. This and creatine are the two supplements that I will always take all year round. You just notice a massive difference, even in like 3 weeks of taking it. You just even like waking up in the morning, the brain fog, you won't get that no more. Even physically in your body, you see like striations in your ab and your obliques. Even though you haven't changed nothing else, you're still on the same diet, you're still training the same, or if you've added this that one supplement. And if you've seen it, Dennis Frimpong, he takes it as well. He vouches by it as well, lad. When people ask us how we're getting these knockouts, lad, we just swear by the CMOS because it's just powerful, man. But the problem is, most of these people who are selling CMOS are half scamming you because this is wild crafted CMOS, which means this actually comes from Peru. It's picked off the rocks in the ocean where most people are line growing the CMOS. So they're just growing it on rope in water. So it doesn't have the same minerals and vitamins as pulled out the earth as wild crafted moss would. So stick to the product I know, and that is Royal Minerals. You won't get nothing better.
A jar like that, around how much would it cost? I'm guessing since it comes outside the from outside the UK, it already will cost quite a dear amount.
Well, it's made here in the UK. He just gets the moss sent dried from over there and then he makes it here so it's fresh.
I see.
It's no more than £20, like for a jar. And a jar of last year, if it was me, because I nail it, it'd last me a week, but it'd probably last you 2 weeks.
I see. And how would you take it? Just take it raw from the jar. Do you take it with your food, breakfast, lunch, or dinner?
So I like to wake up in the morning. I like to spray some magnesium oil on my stomach. Because magnesium oil on your stomach, it'll make your gut absorb more nutrients. Then I wait for around half an hour. I break me fast in the morning with the sea moss. That's the first thing I eat. I have 2 big tablespoons of sea moss, and then I have no breakfast and just let it sit for half an hour, and then I have me breakfast, and then I go about my day.
Right now, it's not so. Basically, asking where could I get my hands on something like that?
I'll send you the page. Royal Minerals, the Instagram's called. And
Okay.
he'll just send it in the post to your house.
Okay. Okay,
If
that's right,
anyone is
actually.
watching, you want some at Royal Minerals,
Right. I'll
I'll
give that a
send you the
try.
page later.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Now, a former opponent of yours, from the Czech Republic, has been very prominent thanks to yourself because you've been, he's always run away from you at least on more than two occasions when he's supposed to fight you, at Octagon MMA. What is the beef between?
Technically, he's not a former opponent because he didn't get in there with me. He's a shit house.
Yes. What happened to you two guys?
We all know what happened in it. I fucking kicked him at the weigh-in and scared him away. And no, he won't step in there, lad. He's had the chance to step in there with me multiple times, and he obviously doesn't want to. I know after this fight in Birmingham, there's a big card coming up in Eden, 30,000 seater stadium, 6 weeks after the fight. If they want me to fight him, I'll fight him in his back garden. It's in Czech. I don't mind. I'll fly over there and fucking kick shit out of him. But I just feel like he'll never accept a fight with me. I think he's terrified to fight.
Did they give you a reason, as in did his side give your side a reason as to why he pulled out the last time? Nothing.
They said he broke his rib, and they said they were going to do an X-ray and all that one, but no X-ray come. Nothing happened about it. He never broke his rib. I know where I kicked him. I've kicked 1,000 livers in my time. I hit all soft. It was all internal organ, no ribs. I know that for a fact. He just seen a way out of the fight, and it's my fault because I give him it, lad. It is what it is, isn't it? We move.
Yeah.
And that's why I haven't been in the cage for fucking 10 months because of that cunt.
Look, in the past, well, say the past, but your fight record, you've had a very successful career. What has been your toughest fight, your toughest opponent?
The best guy I've fought, in my opinion, is definitely Arthur Lima. I also think it was my toughest fight because 2 weeks before the fight, I dislocated my ribs, and I probably should have pulled out. Everyone told me to pull out, all the coaches, but I didn't want to pull out on my debut. It was supposed to be against Jakub Banik, and then about a week and a half out, I got a change of opponent to then Arthur Lima, a completely different style, a completely different opponent. Even you look at me physically in the fight where I've been bed bound and couldn't train for a few weeks, I was fucked, lad. I just didn't want to pull out. That fight obviously ended up going to a draw. And even though it was a tough fight, I still think I won that fight. Like, I've watched it a million times. I think he won the first round and I clearly won the last two. It's weird because there's something going on with the people who do the statistics who work for Octagon, because it says even in the Jan Malik fight, I landed zero significant strikes. But if I landed zero significant strikes, how did I drop him? And how did I break my left hand when I was punching him up against the cage? And then if you look at the significant strikes on the Lima fight, it says that he landed 3 times as many strikes as I landed on him. But I was on top of him for 2 rounds. So how's he done that in 1 round? It just doesn't make sense. Like, it was a large majority of me on top of him, ground and pounding and passing his guard and stuff. But I don't know whether that swayed the judges a little bit on the night when they've looked up at the screen and seen the significant strikes and the fight was close. I don't know, but I feel like if you watch the fight back, lad, it's obvious I won 2 and 3 and he won the first. But I'm not dwelling on the past. It is what it is. We move. Everything happens for a reason. And I'm here today. But I do half wish that they would have kept Lima in Octagon, because I'd like to see him fight some other cunts. And I'd like to fight him again, obviously, in the future. I want to run that one back, but I think he's fighting in Bellator or somewhere else. I'm not sure. I don't know what's happened with him.
Touching on that, it's something that I've seen that does rear its ugly head quite often, more often than I'd expect. Whereby you watch a fight, you can clearly see even a novice who doesn't follow combat sports so often can clearly see who is winning because they're landing more attacks, more blows, more takedowns, and their ground game seems to be on point. And then lo and behold, at the end of the fight, they announce that the other person who didn't seem to be doing much in the fight has actually won. And you do wonder. What were the judges thinking? Well, it has been suggested that after the fight, that the judges should also be invited to the press conference to kind of answer questions as to why they put the win to the other fighter when clearly it was the other fighters that should have won the fight.
I don't think that should happen because I don't think judges should be in the public limelight. I don't think judges' identity should be known also. Like not publicly anyway, the name is Sam, but like putting their faces on screen and stuff, you're gonna start getting judges who become as famous as fighters. I don't think that's a good thing for the sport. I do think to be a judge, you should have to be a former fighter or a former prominent figure in mixed martial arts. You can't just be fucking done a 6 week course and now you're the MMA judge all of a sudden, but you don't even train. Like, I think that's crazy. But if you leave your fight to the judges and you get robbed, it's your own fault for leaving the fight to the judges, I say, lad, then it is what it is, isn't it? That's why I'm only coming for finishes. It's kill or be killed out here. A decision, win to me still isn't a win. It's just they picked me to win on the night. I'm still finish is the only way to win, and I'm trying to always look for the finish.
Look, last but by no means least, any shout outs you'd like to give?
Yeah, just a big shout out to all my training partners who helped me in the camp. Big up Next Generation. Love all my sponsors, Reprimo, Grappler Soap, Rain, Raw Sports, Royal Minerals. I've forgot some sponsors, but there's more of yous. I love yous all.
You kind of remind me of just one question I really should have asked you before the shout house, and that is at your gym Next Generation, training with Paddy Pimblett and God, I hate myself again, her name, the other girl.
Molly McCann.
Yes, the one they used to call, and I hate that nickname because, well, you can't use it anymore now because she's always shredded, Meatball Molly.
And her name's Meatball Molly, not because what she looks like, but because what she used to work in Subway.
Really?
Yeah, that's why her name's Meatball.
I had no idea.
Yeah, lad, she used to be the mascot, innit? Well, ask her
I
that.
shouldn't
Well,
laugh at that. I shouldn't laugh because she's done really well as a mixed martial arts
hey,
fighter.
that's a big come up, that you know, lad.
Yes.
That's a serious working class come up that you know.
Yeah,
Many people can
absolutely.
aspire to that. Imagine now you're working in Subway and you're thinking, oh, I'm never gonna get out of this shitty job. And then someone goes, what do you mean, lad? Molly used to work in here, lad. Look at her now. Do you get me?
Yes,
Everyone
yes.
needs to look at someone for inspiration, bro. I think that's a massive thing.
Yeah. But how they, as in how, what's it like training with them, especially the Paddy Pimblett, who I know has recently been married. One of the things that really kind of gets people is how he will shrink down and shred down for a fight. Then after the fight, don't know how he does it. It looks like something out of Hollywood, how they doing it with AI? He just balloons back up again. It's ludicrous.
I think he's a naturally big lightweight anyway. He enjoys his food and that when he doesn't have a fight. But even like in shape out of camp, he's still a big boy. Like now, he's looking. I don't know what he weighs, but he's looking like 88, 90 key, but he's still got an 8-pack on him, do you know what I mean? But yeah, training with all them lads at Next Gen, we've got some serious killers. Like Paddy's doing his thing, Molly's flying. Nathan Fletcher, now he's in the Ultimate Fighter. Luke Riley is probably about to sign to the UFC, or if he doesn't, fight for the Cage Warriors belt. Gittins has just won the belt and defended it. Fucking lad, the room's just full of serious killers, bro. And we're all just fucking repping the Scouse MMA, lad, and we're all just flying. And it's a boss place to be right now, lad. What can I say?
No, there's no question there will be no doubt. I mean, you've got big names in the Paddy Pimblett, Molly, yourself. So definitely there's going to be a lot of eyes in that gym because you guys are producing lots of talented fighters. No question about
Yeah.
that. Shem, thank you so much for coming on the show. Guys, if you did watch the episode right to the end, if you watched on YouTube, don't forget to subscribe and leave a like. If you're listening on the audio platforms, especially Spotify, don't forget to leave a rating. It does help the podcast grow. Shem, once again, thank you for coming on and good luck for April 20th at Octagon MMA 56. I look forward to seeing you in the cage. Thank you
Thank
so
you,
much.
brother. Appreciate it, lad.
Thank you. Take care.
See you later, lad.
Bye.